Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does
Barack Obama nor I support redefining the Constitution.
Our limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my decision.
Smoke could be seen for blocks away. And protesters hurled trash cans and dive bombs at Washington. The bill is working intense partisan fighting.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's happening. We're recording Bob and Weave. So welcome back to Bob and Weave.
It's been a month since we've recorded.
It has been a while.
Because we did, it's only been 3 weeks without an episode, but we did, we recorded two episodes in 1 week before we took our sabbatical.
Oh, we sure did.
Speaking of which, what are we going to do? I think Zach has a plan for this episode. We have a topic. I don't know how much of it we're going to get into. We're just,
you know, when Zach has plans, they don't go well.
It's been a rough day. So far,
you yelled at me a lot today.
I was mostly yelling at Mike.
You yelled at me and Mike a lot. You did yell at Mike a lot.
We recorded our follow-up episode and things for Truth and Justice. Things didn't go particularly well. But what are we going to do? Are we going to, I think that we should, we haven't even discussed this.
We probably should have discussed this before we got
right
here.
Yeah. We're not going to promise weekly episodes, right?
No, there's some stuff in the works.
Yeah. We've got some stuff going on. That is messing up our schedule. So we're obviously going to keep doing Bob and Weave, but we're going to do it when we, you know, have time and something to talk about. I think we need to do another evening time live Zoom. Those were fun.
Those were a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Those were a lot of fun. And I still want to do the wife episode.
Right.
Because that would be a lot of fun.
Some weekend.
They're loud and mean.
Right. You know, then everybody will find out all of our flaws.
Yeah.
That they haven't already figured out. Mm-hmm. Today we're talking about the social dilemma.
Social dilemma. You've been trying to get me to watch it for about 2 months now.
Right. And now it's been 2 months since I've watched it. So,
well, that's good.
And you've watched most of it.
I watched most of it.
Right. So that'll be good. State of the Union right now, real quick. You know, a little current events before we get into it. Did I see that Trump actually finally conceded?
I didn't know that he conceded.
I saw a Twitter thing, but it might have been some bullshit. But Trump won. We knew that. Trump tweeting at 2 a.m? Biden. Did you see that tweet?
No.
He tweeted like a week after the election,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the night, all caps as he does tweet that just said, "I won the election."
Very nice.
Like, oh, did you?
I don't like Twitter.
I know you say that all the time. I don't like it either.
I mean, it'll go into today's topic, but I don't like Twitter.
Oh, I got some shit to talk about today's topic. But anyway, where we're at right now, we're recording this on November the 9th, week ago, when you're watching this.
Except for it's December.
It's December the 9th that we're recording this. And election results have been, they haven't been officially certified. The Electoral College hasn't voted yet, but all the lawsuits are getting dumped out. And what the conclusion that seems to be is there most certainly was quite a bit of voter fraud going on that was verified. But not nearly enough to change the results of the election.
But was it verified?
Some of it was.
Or is that just Fox News saying that?
No. You know what? I've been watching less Fox News lately. I've been checking out that Newsmax, which is kind of a newer channel a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then still bouncing between CNN and to be honest with you, I don't really watch MSNBC anymore.
But you know where I get my news?
Facebook.
SportsCenter.
Oh, yeah.
If it's big enough news, it'll make it on there.
Yeah. But yeah, there were... there were certainly verified incidents, like in our state in Detroit, for sure. There was, you know, there were people that voted that were not alive.
But are you sure? Are you just making up Facebook quotes?
No. Well, there's the Facebook meme show that, you know, Trump won the election, depending mm-hmm. on the people. But no, from looking at, you know, people that were interviewed and some of the hearings that have been done, there has definitely been proof that there was some voter fraud. That went on, or election fraud that went on, but
was there?
I just caught on to what you're doing. But The thing people keep real, so, you know, all the Republicans are like, well, look at this. They're cheating. They're stealing the election. I guarantee you there was probably just as much on the other side, too.
Yeah.
But just, you know, Biden won. So there's not any reason to be doing all of this stuff. But regardless of what, you know, any fraud there was, it's Biden won.
Biden won.
Clearly. There's not, regardless of what Trump is tweeting, he is not going to win the election. And now he's saying he's going to hold a big giant Trump rally at the same time as the inauguration in January.
I mean, I, for one, was looking forward to the recount because I was waiting for them to find those 80 million votes for Joe Jorgensen that just got hid.
Right. And she actually won
the election. She actually won.
Speaking of sort of recounts, the next 2 years of our country is really hinging on January 5th is the two runoff elections in Georgia. Those are coming up, Purdue and Loeffler. I don't remember the two names of the, anyway, the Senate race. There's two Senate races in Georgia. The Republicans won both of them. They got the most votes, but Georgia has a thing where you have to get 50% or more of the votes. And because there were multiple candidates, so like Purdue won with like 49.73% of the votes. He had 100,000 more votes than the Democrat contender. But because there were other, you know, third parties and just the way their voting works, he didn't have over 50%. So they have to do they take the top two, which is him and the Democrat, and they do a runoff election. So January 5th.
So they re-vote.
They re-vote with only two options.
Okay.
And so that's happening January. But that's what's really going to shape. If the Democrats win both of those seats, then they will have control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. If the Republicans win at least one of them, then they will hold control of the Senate, which really is what I'm hoping for. Not because y'all know I'm not a fan of the Republicans or the Democrats. I just don't want either party to have total unchecked control. And so I think with a Republican Senate and a Democrat House and President, then at least we got to slow down and maybe try to work together.
You're one of those like extreme centralists, aren't you?
Speaking of the social dilemma, the extreme centralist. Let's try to punt that one and not offend anybody.
The alt center,
right? But yeah, so that's happening. January. I really got kind of jammed up about a lot of this stuff for a little while, and I've really came to a place of like just peace with it. Like it's just gonna happen. I can't. But the only people can control anything is people in Georgia right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna do what they're gonna do. Things are gonna happen. Whatever's gonna happen. And so you know, I'm just gonna ride the wave. And I think everything will be fine. I will say that while I did not vote for Joe Biden, nor did I vote for Donald Trump, I have been very pleased with Biden's demeanor and the things that he has said since the election. As president-elect, you know, he's encouraging the two sides to work together, and he's been very calm, cool, and collected through all this. It's really given the jackass that we've had for the last few years. It's a breath of fresh air. Still not a big really fan is. Of a lot of his policies, but he has, if what he was trying to do was to calm everybody down, he actually has calmed me down.
He's at least saying the right things for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think he means it. I don't know if the squad's going to let him do what he wants to do, but
the squad.
Yeah. But anyway, that was
our political corner for the evening.
Political corner, in case you guys were wondering where we're at with that. Because I know that you come to us for all of your political news, and your voting decisions all happen right here at the Bob and Weave Decision Desk.
Two idiot white guys.
Right. Yep. So, the social dilemma. Your thoughts?
Brr. That's what I thought. I wasn't impressed. I don't know.
Really?
There's some things in there, but I felt it was more fear tactics than anything. There's a lot of stuff in there that I can see the algorithms are talking about different things. They're talking about how they, you know, you've talked about it several times, the dots, the ellipses to
right.
say someone's writing to try to keep you on there longer.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand that, but I think there's some fear mongering there in this documentary.
See, I think we need to listen. I don't think we're going to change anything because nobody's going to get off their phones. We're all addicted to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, give my own self credit, I am far less addicted to, and I judge this by battery life. So, I don't charge my phone at all during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I'm working all day. Other than work stuff, I'm not on social media at all. I get on my phone and might scroll through Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Like in the evenings when Becky's watching something that I don't want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be like, let's watch this show. And I'll be like, cool. And then she'll put it on. Then I'll scroll my stuff. So, and at the end of the day, when I put my phone in the charger, when I go to bed at night, it's usually at like 65%.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife cannot get to lunchtime.
She likes her phone.
Without putting her phone on the charger. Kids are the same way. There is a constant argument and battle over cell phone chargers in our house.
Mm-hmm. But in her defense, and I will say that she runs an internet business.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not knocking her.
So does my wife. So
yeah.
It doesn't surprise me they're on there. They need to be on there. That's how they make sales. That's how they continue to grow their business.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not knocking her at all. I'm just saying for me to say, like, I'm really not nearly as addicted to my phone as most other people are. That's my comparison is, mm-hmm. you know, I just, by the fact that I can have my phone all day. Where's your phone at the end of the night? Do you have to charge it during the day or are you good?
I have to charge it at the end of the night.
But I mean, throughout the day.
No, I don't charge it during the day.
Yeah, of course, we're near tattooing. It's not like you can touch your phone.
No, I charge it at night. No, and when I talk about, I got the cough sees today.
Just great.
Great. I got the vid. It's not a big deal. Got the vid, the Rona. No, when I talk about the fear mongering, it's the way that they put it together. They put all these weird dramatic scenes in.
That part I didn't like.
It was weird. You know, so they had the one scene where they're trying to get you to pay attention to your phone.
Uh-huh.
And it's all dramatized, and it's like all
the guys in the room.
Guys in the room. And he's like, "Oh, send us over now. We'll send us. Oh, now he's looking. All right, here comes the ad. Oh, we just sold him this ad. You know,
right?
It just felt like the truth is that's not happening.
Well, yeah, to me that was obvious. I didn't particularly like the way it was dramatized, but at the same time, I thought it was kind of a unique way of. So if you haven't seen it yet, what they're doing is they're explaining to you how you're being manipulated by your phone, and they make the point. By they've got like these like evil guys in a room that are focused. There's like three guys that are focusing on you. They're trying to sell you ads and like, okay, now send them this. Put the dots up. Do this. All right, now send them that. Yes, we sold it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think they were saying that's what's actually happening.
No, and I don't think that they're trying to actually say that's what's happening, but they're making it feel icky. They're making it feel deceitful.
I think it is evil and deceitful.
I don't think it is. I think even at the beginning they talk about that wasn't the intent. It's what people have made it to be.
I think that there's unintended consequences. I think that I 100% believe that the purpose in prior to this, because I do think there were some shenanigans we'll talk about with this election, but prior
no,
to this,
no, I'm not talking about it.
I think that, you know, the entire purpose behind these algorithms and everything they're talking about wasn't to fuck up your life. It was to sell ads. It was trying to target demographics for ad sales. But there have been unintended consequences from that. I don't think they're trying to ruin people's lives, but it's, you know, part of it's as far as like the fear tactic. So what I've been paying attention since this, where they're talking about things like YouTube. Mm-hmm. You watch a video and then it shows you your next suggested video and it sends you down this rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not really social media, but YouTube's kind of social media. And it's like, they say, don't accept it. Watch what you want to watch. Don't accept their suggested videos. It'll change. And so I've been watching, because I do a lot of research on YouTube for things that I'm going to do. I'm planning a trip out west next year for a different type of haunt I've never done. So I'm watching those videos. And there'll be one of those videos. There'll be another one. And then the next video has nothing to do with that.
Uh-huh.
And then if you keep going with it, it leads you down a path to where I'm trying to buy Benchmade knives from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's... Yeah, and I've noticed that's happening. And then I've seen them get worse. Something that Facebook changed, unless this was just my phone. So Facebook, you used to, if you got on your phone and looked at your newsfeed, it listed everything in chronological order.
Mm-hmm.
And then years ago, they introduced top story or top posts or top stories or whatever. So by default, when you would go on your phone and look, it would show you the posts they want you to see. Not the post you want to see. Like, they're not in order. If I'm looking at Facebook, I just want to know what's new since last time I looked.
Yeah, but I don't think that's 100% true. It's their algorithm trying to show you what it thinks you want to see. It's not that.
That's what they're telling you.
But I think that's what it is. It's the people that you interact with the most is mm-hmm. what it's trying to make sure that you see. Because if right. you notice, if you don't see somebody for a long time, you know what I mean? Like, there's somebody you're like, I forgot about that person.
Yeah.
You go to their page, comment on something. They'll start appearing in your timeline.
Sure. Okay. Right.
It's because it's trying to figure out who you interact with and who you want to see, which is what we talk about, like the echo chamber. You
right.
know, even though you have these people on your Facebook page that are different, if you don't engage with them, you're not going to see them.
Right. And that's what I'm getting at with the unintentional consequences are things like that. Like, yeah, maybe they're the purpose behind it
mm-hmm.
was legitimate. Like, we want to show you what you want to see. And keep in mind, I mean, I don't know if you caught, but some of the guys that are on there were like engineers and were designers of Facebook, mm-hmm. of Twitter. Like, and they're telling you, no, this was the purpose for this.
Yeah.
Is they're trying to narrow down and show you what you want to see so that they can determine what you want to see so that they can market the proper ads to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the unintended consequence of that is the echo chambers that we're talking about. Because now, because I've had that happen many times where I'm like, where's so, I haven't seen or heard, did they delete me on Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go like search their name up. I was like, no, they're making 5 posts a day and I haven't seen any of them. I noticed it first when I was still running my fire seminars business, when I was traveling and teaching. I had my fire seminars page. I had thousands of followers on that page because I would put up like daily trainings and things like that. Ran my business a lot on social media, and it was like my views. It's like I had 5,000 followers of that page that not only hit like but click to follow to see my stuff. And I would make a post, and it would say that it reached 200 people, and then that. And so this was 10 years ago, but you know, and then you would do some research on it, and they'd say, well, if you want to reach the rest of your people, you have to pay.
Yeah, you have to.
You got to pay to market it. Which to me was fucked up at the time. It's like someone intentionally went to my page,
mm-hmm.
liked it, and clicked follow because they, as the user, wants to see what I'm posting, and you will not show them what I'm posting unless I now pay for you to put it in front of them.
But then I see the other side of it where you are given a free platform.
Right.
So you are going to complain, and I don't mean you in general, mm-hmm. I just mean like you are given a completely free platform for you to use to advertise.
Right.
And then they withhold some of that to ask you to pay them to help you advertise.
Sure. Oh, and yeah. Then, I
and
totally
you can't
see
complain
that part.
About, I mean, that's.
I totally see that part of it. And then back then I would be pissed about it, but it was like, well, that's what it, I mean, it's their platform.
Mm-hmm.
My point here is more about the end user. The person who, you know, that, you know, got on there and they're making money off them from the ads,
mm-hmm.
that says, I'm on here because I want to see what this guy has to say. And they're like, nope, we're not going to show it to you unless they pay. And so you don't know that,
mm-hmm.
you're just not getting to see what, but it's all, again, it's the intention, I think, is to make money.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's doing is it's making these echo chambers where you're not seeing things. And so what I was getting at earlier with the whole top stories thing. So it did that, and then it used to have right at the top, you could click most recent, and it would switch it and show you your actual most recent
post.
Yeah,
you could toggle it.
And then they changed it to where you had to go to, like at the bottom, the little three dots at the bottom or whatever, to bring up your settings, and there was a button there that said most recent. So mm-hmm. every time I'd go on, I would go on to my home, hit that, hit most recent, and then it would bring me to the more recent post. So I can see, because I'd be seeing posts like, wait, that was 3 days. I saw that already. It was 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Well, why is that up there? And then just in the last week, and again, this may be some weird glitch with my phone, I don't know, but the most recent button is now gone from there. Now, in order to hit the most recent, you got to go to your homepage, hit the buttons, go to your menu, go through like the icons of the top 6 things they want you to push,
mm-hmm.
and then hit see more, and then it makes a list of 50 more things and scroll down alphabetically to the little button that says most. That's what you have to go through every time in order to see the recent stories or the recent posts instead of the posts they want me to see. And so that's all, you know, again, whatever the intention is, I don't think there was a nefarious intention there,
mm-hmm.
but the unintended consequences, what we've been talking about here for months are these social media bubbles.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, they're only showing me what they think I want to see, but I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think everyone agrees with me.
But it's so back and forth. I don't know exactly what you're talking about. I understand about seeing the recent post, want to see the recent post. But if you're, let's say you're skipped a day, mm-hmm. and you go on and you want to go see the recent posts, well, I don't give a shit what song lyrics you posted today.
Uh-huh.
But maybe I missed that Mike got married or Mike got engaged. It's trying to show you the most, you know what I mean? The most important.
Do you hit most recent or do
no,
you just
I never
go with
it? I just go with it.
But I
also don't, even though I spend time on there, I just don't use it that much for that.
Right.
Like I use Facebook, and this is what I want to get into, or social media. Facebook and Instagram is what I use primarily, actually only.
Mm-hmm.
I use it for business.
Right.
And it's made me who I am today. Like without, you know, so this whole thing is dragging social media down, but I think so many people forget that it's made us who we are today. I'm a tattooer in the Midwest that is busy as fuck, and I wouldn't be if it wasn't for social media.
Sure.
You know, you're a fucking podcaster. You make a living.
Oh, yeah. I don't think social media should go away, and I don't think it ever will.
You know, you became famous because of social media.
Right.
So that's where I, like, I tend not to go with this stuff. I tend to see, like, the fear-mongering in it and trying to...
Well, I just don't like, I think social media is great. I think the way that we're being manipulated and how that's evolving is, I think it's dangerous. And of course, I don't want it to go away. It's how I make my living.
Mm-hmm.
It's how my wife makes her living. You know, so I don't want it to go away. But the fact that it makes all, because the other thing for me, like when it shows those top posts,
mm-hmm.
they're not what I want to see. Never one time have I ever scrolled through and like, oh, good, this. I'm always like, God damn it, this is not what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what my friends are posting. You know, I want to see if you posted anything. I want to see if Mike's posted anything. I want to see, you know, what my parents might have posted. And none of that's in my top stories.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go search that shit out, which is, again, it's a free service.
Well, and I think that's part of the unintended consequences of it is you talked about, and I agree with you there, that's totally unintended. But I also don't think that they intended you to have 5,000 friends on there.
Right.
They intended you to have 20 friends on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, they want you to have more because that's how they're going to expand their network and their business. Right. But the algorithm is set up to say, like, oh, I've got 50 friends on here, and I want to see what these...
See, I don't think that. Those algorithms are changed constantly. They know how many friends people have.
Well, I'm aware, but that's why I'm saying, like, it doesn't... It's trying to figure out what you want to see out of those 5,000 people and not out of 20 people.
Right.
So if you want to see what I want to do or what Mike wants to do, you would limit that down, and you're going to get a better chance of seeing that.
Better chance, but even with that, because now they've not only added... You have sponsored posts, mm-hmm. which are ads people paid for. But now there's also the suggested posts that are coming up, which is something that's kind of, so I'm looking at most recent. I want to see a feed of the people that I followed. I want to see what they have this had to say today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, there's after I go through the whole process to get to that, then it's like there's that, and then here's a sponsored ad, and here's a sponsored ad, and then here's a post, like, and I'll be like, who is it? I don't follow that. And if you look somewhere, it'll say suggested in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're mixed into, they're trying to pull you into other places, you know, and one thing that I thought was really interesting, the way they broke down the like conspiracy theory, like flat earth side, like the reason there's such a massive movement of these flat earthers that of people that legitimately believe that is like they, you know, they look at your interests and they start funneling you more posts and more group suggestions from other different conspiracy, and it creates these like, yeah, not that wouldn't necessarily happen anyway, but you know that's what happens. They take somebody's like, oh, they're doing some research, not on social media. They're Googling the Flat Earth Society, and they're collecting that data and saying, well, we're going to show them these Flat Earth groups. And since they're into Flat Earth, maybe they're into JFK assassination conspiracies, and maybe they're into we didn't land on the moon. And they start showing you all this stuff, and it just like it's intended to suck you in, and it's intended to suck you in not because they're trying to make you into a conspiracy theorist, because they want to hone in your interest so they can then tell this company like, hey, if you spend this much per click, we'll throw these ads in front of these people that we know are interested in what you're trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's what they're trying to do, but I don't like it. Instagram, have you noticed lately their latest update, the suggested posts? So Instagram, you'll scroll through and look through your feed, and then a new feature they added, I think not too long ago, is where they'll show you a little check mark that says you're all caught up. Like there's no new posts.
I never get to that.
Yeah. I rarely do either.
Yeah.
But I'll scroll through it. Like if I happen to look at it and then like an hour later sit down and I'm still bored because the housewives are on TV and I scroll again, there's only like five or six new posts because I don't follow a lot of people, and it'll say you're all caught up. And then it used to then just continue on with the stuff you already saw. Because sometimes I'm looking for, it's like, oh, hey, did you see that post that Vicky made, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be scrolling through and it'll go, you're all caught up. But then after you're all caught up, it no longer shows you the people you follow. Now it looks like your normal feed, but none of the posts they're showing you are people you follow. They all have a little thing in the corner that says suggested, and it's showing you posts from all these other people and brands and companies that it thinks you want to see. And again, it's not like, I'm not saying they're burning the world down or anything, but it is absolutely manipulation. They're trying to get you to look at what they want you to look at.
I mean, I understand that, but it's also advertising. They have to make money. That's why it's marketing.
But there's a difference between suggested and sponsored.
Okay.
The advertising where they're making money is if I pay
to sponsor an ad.
To sponsor an ad, it'll put the little legally it has to say sponsored on it. The suggested ones are just, you know, and again, the end game is to make money, but it's, well, we want you to check this guy out. Maybe you follow him, and if you follow him, then maybe you follow this guy, and then there's another avenue for us to sell ads. I think the entire thing is driven by selling ads, which I can't argue with. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. That's my job. You know, we do a podcast and sell ads, and that's how we make money on it. But I think there is a danger in the consequences of them. You know, they're literally controlling the way we think, and it's created, I think. You know, look at the younger generation when it comes to the election. Now, I have a 20-year-old and a 15-year-old and a 14-year-old. So the three teenage-ish young adults.
Yeah.
And one of them does a lot of his own research.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll see stuff on social media and then look it up and start to fact check some of it. And he'll talk to me about that stuff. And then he will talk about how that you know, like TikTok and Snapchat and, you know, all the stories and Instagram, like there's all these people that are stating all these things as fact and everybody believes it. And it's like this giant echo chambers of these, you know, young adults that all 100% believe, you know, especially coming into the election that, you know, I don't want to get any hot topics. So thing X is true.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I looked it up. It's not even true. Or, you know, like, Biden didn't actually say that. They're all saying that he said that, and they're arguing about it. They're literally having arguments about whether it's okay that he said this, and no one bothered to look and see the fact that he never actually said it. And I think that's, you know, that's part. It's mind fucking us.
It is, but what you just said is people just not doing research for themselves,
right?
So how do we educate people? That's where the next step is, isn't this, you know?
Sure.
Yes, I do agree that people need to disconnect a little bit and spend more time together. That's one of the big things about this lockdown, this big coronavirus that we had that I understood, is being off for 3 months straight with my family every day. I understood how much I missed, and I understood how much I needed to be there.
Right.
You know, I changed my schedule so I could be home at night. We put the phones away. We do, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I understand that. But how do we get people to? How do we educate people to get them there?
I don't think you did. Like I said, I kind of premise this is, I don't think that anybody's going to get rid of social media because we're addicted to it. That's how we live.
It is,
and not we, you, and me, but as a society.
But and like I said, I mean, I make money tattooing. That's how I make some money. But I get so much business driven to me by Facebook, by Instagram, for free that I can't afford to get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean. For even as a user and not a, you know, as a consumer and not a business, I just hired a guy to do drywall in my basement. You know, and you don't go to the Yellow Pages. I don't go to Google. I go to Facebook and say, hey, and, you know, I wanted to help out some local guys. I don't want to hire some big company. So I just put up, hey, I need this room hung and finished drywall. Does anybody know anybody around here that wants to do it? And then, you know, guy reached out to me. He's like, hey, I just lost my job. And he was a contractor. He was a union contractor. Lost my job through all this crap. And I'm doing drywall on the side. I can come give you a quote. He came, you know. So like, I use it for that. You know, it's the same thing you're doing. It's all, and he's using. He's getting word of mouth business from that. So I'm not sitting here saying I hate social media and trying to bash social media. It's, but I don't like the way it's run. And again, we saw it bigger consequences from it were like from the election. Not saying that it necessarily swayed the election, but we saw like. You know, Twitter, for example, the Hunter Biden stuff. And I don't want to get into there's people that'll bitch and moan about even talking about it or it was bullshit. You can fact check your own stuff. The point is, a reputable newspaper that's been around for a century published a story, which the facts in the story proved to be true, that it was about Joe Biden's son and a potential connection between some business dealings and Biden. Leading up to the election, Twitter blocked it was the New York Times or New York Post. I always get the two mixed. I think New York Post.
One at a time. Yeah.
But they blocked the story, blocked them. And then anybody that was retweeting it. So for example, the White House press secretary retweeted it, was banned from Twitter for retweeting a post from a reputable news service. So they were actively you know, Twitter was, and you can argue this, but I don't think there is an argument, was 100% against Donald Trump for Joe Biden, wanted Biden to win the election, and then actively manipulated the and censored what we were allowed to see under the guise of fact checking. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, you know, there's easy comparisons of plenty of stuff coming from the other side that wasn't in any way fact checked, just blowing through the internet, you know, about Trump or Republican. A lot of it is true, but some of it's not, and they just let it go. And this story comes out that could have potentially been devastating to the campaign had it been given any air, and they just said, nope, you don't get to see it. If they post it, we're blocking them. If you retweet what they post, we're blocking you. Hmm. No one's allowed to see it. And that's a fact. I mean, there was hearings about it.
Yeah.
About them doing that. So like when they start taking steps, that's the algorithm stuff is frustrating. And I do think it's scary. And we can get into some of like the actual mental health effects of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what the solution is. But using what's supposed to be an open format, social media forum for people to be able to express their views and opinions and discuss them, at least leading people to believe that's what it is, and then take and say, nope, we want a particular candidate to win, so we're going to completely manipulate what's being posted so that you don't know that this happened. Like, that's I have a problem with that. No, whether it's on either side.
I have a problem with it as well. But again, I try to look at solutions. What's the solution? Does the government have to step in? Because these are privately owned companies.
Well, that's the problem, is they're not considered press, right? So they don't have any rules.
Yeah, they don't have the freedom of speech rule. They don't have any, right. You know what I mean? So what has to happen for that to work? Or, you know, I think at a certain point, people just have to understand what's happening, you know, which is the biggest issue.
But where are people getting the news to understand what's happening?
I don't know. Off Netflix, apparently.
No, they're getting it off social media. That's where most people, I think, are getting their...
I know, that was a joke because we're talking about the documentary.
So. Right. But that's what I mean. You know, they literally can just hide all that shit from mm-hmm. you. You know, that's why this documentary I thought was, you know, hopefully at least, I don't think it's changing behaviors for probably 99.999% of the people that watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people probably thought it was fear mongering and stupid. Some people are probably like, holy shit, this is real, and probably changed no behaviors
mm-hmm.
because they still want to be on there.
I thought it was interesting. I don't want to say that I thought it was stupid, but I just thought some of it was very like fear driven.
Yeah. Well, and you didn't get to the end of it either.
Yeah. Cause somebody rudely came in and just talked over me the whole time while I was trying to
2 months after I asked him to watch it.
Yeah. Bob has imploded like 47 times today.
I think that I cannot really speak intelligently on a solution to this, but I definitely think whatever, and you know, I'm not a big fan of overregulation by the government, mm-hmm. but I don't think social media is what they're saying it is anymore. And if it's not, that's okay. But if what they're saying, look, we're a privately owned company
mm-hmm.
and we're just creating a space for people to share all their thoughts and views and opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're censoring what can be put on there. They have their, but when it becomes like, oh, now we're very much agenda driven. We're trying to influence presidential elections based on what's on here. And we're saying that now we are the fact checkers.
Mm-hmm.
We are fact checking anything that comes on there. Like, I think that you're beyond what you're saying you are. You're getting into the point where you're in a realm where I think that you need to have some sort of regulation on what you're allowed to do, or some sort of oversight at least
mm-hmm.
on what you're doing. And again, I can't speak intelligently on what those regulations are or what they should be categorized, but I think that there are, you know, billions of people that are jumping onto Twitter thinking that they're just getting to see what everybody's posting about what's happening, having no idea that
Twitter is garbage.
Or, well, for what
I'm single-handedly taking down Twitter.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna keep
fill this. In the blank for the social media platform. But you know, you have no idea that there are legitimate stories that people have tried to share
mm-hmm.
that Twitter has said, "Nope, you can't share that," because that goes against their claiming it's fact checking. But those stories were fact checked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was definitely stuff about that, to be clear, that was blown out of proportion that wasn't fact checked. But that original story was fact checked. That was blocked and saying, but that hurts the candidate we like, so we're going to not let anybody post that or not anybody talk about it as though it didn't exist. I don't think that's
yeah, it's pretty shady.
But the other downside is of this is we're talking about like the mental health stuff. Did you get to the part yet where they went through...
They discussed the suicide
the, rates. Like and teen suicide mm-hmm. rate stuff. And again, I don't think there's anything we can do about it, but it, goddamn, it's sad.
It is sad.
It
is alarming and... There's numbers to back it up. I mean, it's there. It is.
These are verifiable numbers when they're talking about teen attempted and teen completed suicides since the really they talked about like even like filters on Instagram mm-hmm. or Snapchat, and you know that social media, and this really isn't the fault of the social media companies, I don't think so. But
either.
By creating these options out there, it's created an environment where, you know, people, especially these, you know, teenagers are looking at all these people and all their friends and look how perfect and pretty they are and pretty their skin is and how happy their life is and how great their relationship is. We all know the couple that got divorced that were all like, what happened? They had such an amazing relationship. Mm-hmm. I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah.
They were together and happy. And then, you know, so it's like this best foot forward thing on Facebook, and it's creating these situations where these people just feel inadequate. They feel like they're not good enough and they feel bad about themselves. Couple that with the unchecked cyber bullying mm-hmm. that goes on, which again is not the platform's fault.
Yeah. I don't think it's a platform's fault. And that's society. It's easier. People. It's way easier for me to, you know, send you something without having to see you to insult you.
Right.
You know, if I have to stand in front of you and say, Bob, I don't, you know, you got big ears. Like,
you wanted to say I look fat in this shirt, yeah, didn't you?
No, I didn't say anything.
That's
about
what I wanted to say.
No.
It's not even cyberbullying. It's doing it right in my face.
I know, but I was trying to be nice about it. I was trying not to talk about your lovely lady lumps. But it's way easier to cyberbully you. It's easier to bully you when I don't have to be present,
right.
When I don't have to see you, when I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To say something face to face is hard to do. It truly is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's nice or not, you know, it's
for
hard
most
to do.
People.
For most people.
Some people are just very assholes, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, but for most people, you don't want to, it's much easier to hide behind a keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you there are people that have said some really horrible, awful stuff to me, which I could fill folders full of all the horrible things people said about me because I'm in a space where I invite that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you less than 1% of them would say that to my face.
I agree.
You know, it just so happens that I happen to be a very large man. I was thinking, I was like, this guy, like, you piece of shit, you're a joke. And I was like, and I'm not even saying I would do anything about it, but I was thinking, I wonder if this person would walk up to my face and say that to me.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they would not.
I don't think it matters of your stature. I don't think people would do that.
Yeah, because people just don't like that kind of confrontation.
They just don't.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, what they got into was like showing direct correlation with statistics and numbers that, you know, the filters, the everyone looks perfect, and the cyberbullying all combined is like I don't remember because it was 2 months ago and I watched it, but it is a staggering statistic.
It's like 60%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 60% increase in teen suicide and teen attempted suicide.
And preteen is like 140%.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of, yeah, preteens is another big one. Like it's massive, like how it is affected, you know, negatively. And it's, man, they call it the social dilemma, I think, for a reason, because certainly I would be fine on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
With my business, it would be very difficult. But on a personal level, to be like, you know what, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Because I'm not addicted. I don't care. I genuinely don't usually care. When I'm scrolling through, I'm looking for posts of, you know, oh, this is cool. Look what they did with their kid. Or, hey, they had a baby and they got married. Check mm-hmm. this out. Or, that's fun. I'm not interested in anybody's bullshit and their political stuff and mm-hmm. posting a picture of their meal every day. Like, I just don't care about any of that. And so I'd be fine with not having it at all. But that's obviously not an option.
But that's exactly it. You know, you or I would still be functioning. We'd be people. We'd
right.
have jobs. We would, you know, our lives would go on.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't be the Bob Ruff that everybody knows.
Oh, no.
You
would still be a fireman, I'm sure. Yeah,
you wouldn't be this guy that has a show on Oxygen Network. You wouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, you said it yourself to me before and when I did Made Us. You said it yourself that you're like, when I started, I got a few powerful retweets.
Powerful retweets, yeah.
That really helped me.
Rabia Chowdhury.
And without
made my career.
Without that, you know, you're a firefighter.
Yep. Yeah. 100%. And on the business side, I could, and for starters, even if we wanted to go away, it would never go away.
And with being saying that, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I don't, you know, it's true. It's 100% true. And I'm sure that's true of many, 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 many people, and especially in the independent content creator business. But yeah, it scares me. It scares me with my kids. It's, you know, like I said, I've got my one boy that is very much, you know, he's the type of brain he is. He uh-huh. wants to fact check and doesn't believe everything that's fed to him. But he'll tell you, he's like, my generation sucks. They don't do that. They don't fact check. They take everything. And it's just like, it's changing the way that our country looks. It's changing the way that people act, you know, behavior, just in general. We were just talking about this the other day. Just, you know, we're blended. So my kids spend half their time with me and half the time with their mom. And, you know, there's different rules at different houses. And I was just talking to my teenager's mom about, like, his bedtime. You know, and she has a set bedtime, and she do this, and she's like, well, he doesn't have bedtime. He just can't be on the phone after this time. You know, he can, he doesn't have to go to sleep. He can't be on the phone after that. And it's like, you don't understand. And I didn't understand, but I went through the teenage thing first before her because I had a stepson that was, you know, 5 years older. And I was like, what is wrong with you? I remember when my oldest stepson was like in high school, like, what is wrong with you? Go do something. You're sitting here like a vampire in the basement on video games or on your phone. Why aren't you ever hanging out with your friends? And he used to tell me, like, I am hanging out with my friends. This is how we hang out. And you're a boomer and you don't get it.
Yeah.
Which I didn't accept until I'm seeing it with, I sort of parallel it to when I was a sophomore in high school. I had an 11 o'clock curfew.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be home at 11, and I pushed it every night. You know, it was like I was out with my friends doing stuff or out with my girlfriend or whatever we were doing, and I had to be home by 11. Well, I don't even have to give my kids a curfew because they don't go anywhere. You know, Quentin hangs out with his girlfriend. She'll come over here or he'll go over there or family stuff, whatever, but they don't really go out. Of course, it's pandemic time too.
Yeah.
That plays into it. But, you know, to say that, well, you can do whatever you want, but you just have to be off your phone at 9:30. It's like that's their social time. Mm-hmm. That's how they interact on streaming on video games or on Snapchat or on Google Meets or whatever it is that they are doing.
Yeah.
It's just a different generation. I don't think it's in some ways I think it's pretty amazing that, and I think that's why they're able to navigate this remote learning way better than we could have.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know how to operate that way. At the same time, I don't think it's healthy for them in general as far as their ability, learning the ability to communicate and interact with other humans face-to-face is more important of a skill than math, if you ask me.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and they're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Just before the pandemic, they're not getting it. Their interactions are like what you were talking about, that, well, I'm behind a keyboard, so I'm going to say whatever I want. I'm going to tell you to go fuck yourself because I can do that. You can't talk like that out in the real world.
Yeah.
And for us, we know that because we've lived both. They haven't. They've only lived this. So what do we do, Zach?
I have no idea, Bob.
I've depressed you.
You've depressed me.
You look like you've tuned out of everything that I'm saying.
I'm getting beaten down.
Want to talk about something fun?
Yeah.
I don't have anything either.
I got exiled from my family Thanksgiving. Did I talk about that?
No. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, we did a whole episode on what happens next, and
you were talking about what your Thanksgiving was going to look like.
Our Thanksgiving was going to look like.
And just so we're, before you finish the story, how many things have you been uninvited from this year so far?
Two or three, for sure.
But I bet this one hurt
the
worst.
There was a big one that I was uninvited from earlier in the year that hurt. But this one was a pretty good. Well, the problem with this getting uninvited was it was at my house, so that was tough. Yeah, we had Thanksgiving planned for my house. Like we do every year at my house. Everybody comes over. We enjoy Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I decided we went to Tennessee before Thanksgiving. It was a wonderful time. My kids wrestle. My kids are still wrestling. They wrestle on a national team. Mm-hmm. There was a wrestling meet down there. We're like, let's take a family vacation to go wrestle. Well, unbeknownst to us, I was not okay with the rest of the family.
Right.
And
very dangerous, they thought.
Very dangerous, they thought. And so when we get back, one by one, they start to fall off. And I knew it. I called it as soon as my grandparents decided they weren't going to come.
Uh-huh.
I said, watch, everybody else is going to back out. And sure shit, everybody else backed out.
Now, did they meet elsewhere without you?
I have no idea.
You haven't spoken to them since?
I haven't spoken to them about this. I've spoken to them. I haven't spoken to them about this. I'm a little sore. I'm a little ass chapped on this.
Was there any like hostility? Like, did your grandparents, were they like, dude, why would you go do that? No, we can't come now. Or was it just like, you know, I just think we're going to.
So it was more the second. And I can honestly tell you, this is what I believe happened. My uncle lives in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
His wife was exposed at work.
Uh-huh.
So they weren't coming home because his wife was exposed. His wife was exposed because a coworker of hers went down south on vacation, contracted corona, brought it back, exposed her. So now, before Thanksgiving, we are going down south to go on vacation.
Right.
And now it's put into my family's head that this is how this happens.
Right. In their defense, I don't think I would have, if I was your grandparents. I guess I can see why that you guys went and were in an arena with thousands of people and your kids were rolling around the mat with strangers from other states. If I was in the high risk category, I might be like, you know, I'm going to skip that.
Here's the holdup on that for me. 3 weeks prior to this, my kids wrestled at another tournament. And we were with them almost every single day post that tournament.
Maybe they learned the error of their ways, Zach.
Maybe.
Are we talking about Grandpa Doug?
No, we're not.
Oh, then I'm not going to defend. I thought I was defending Grandpa Doug.
No, we're not. We're talking about my other grandfather. This is the same grandfather that once shot a mouse off the back of the kitchen sink with a gun in the house.
Did he hit it?
Yeah. This is a totally, you know, we all met my grandfather, Doug Bonham.
Right, yeah.
A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man.
Great man.
Great man.
Yeah.
I'm not saying my other grandfather isn't a great man. They're just two different beings.
Very different beings.
Very, very different beings.
Why wasn't Grandpa Bonham invited to Thanksgiving?
So we always do, the way my family, because I come from a split family, that I always do Thanksgiving with the Weaver half. And we always do Christmas with the Bonham half.
Okay.
Instead of trying, because we used to try to do all.
Right.
And it got too much. As you know from having split families, it's too much to try to go.
We quit.
Yeah. See, you guys just quit. Yeah. So instead of trying to go to four Thanksgivings, we go, we're doing this one. And then for the next holiday, we'll only do you.
Right.
So that's why that ended the way it did.
Yeah. Becky and I got to the, you know, after every year Thanksgiving, like we got Thanksgiving at my parents' house, Thanksgiving at her parents' house. And then, you know, maybe my brother's doing something. And then Christmas is the worst, bouncing around all over the place. Last year, we're like, we're grown adults with our own family.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal on Thanksgiving, because it was the whole, and it's always too, like both sides, like, are you coming to our house? Oh, you're going there. Well, isn't it our turn? Or can you come to us first? Or, oh, we're both planning it at 1 o'clock and, you know, can one of you do it at 6 so we could do both? Or we called them both, said, look, here's the deal. We're not going anywhere for any holidays, period. On Thanksgiving, we're going to cook a turkey at our house for our children, and you guys are welcome to come. And last year, both her parents and my parents and my brother's family, they're all kind of our local family, they all came to our house and we had Thanksgiving and they left and it was fine.
Yeah.
And then Christmas, it was the same thing. Christmas morning, because we used to, you know, get the kids up, open your gifts here, and then we'll run to Grandma Marge's house and you open your gifts there, and then we'll run to Graham Ruff's house and open gifts there. And then, like, no. We're going to get up on Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are going to open their prizes and they're going to hang out here. If you would like to see them on Christmas, you're welcome to bring your prizes to our house.
That's about where I'm this year.
Yeah.
Because again, the same thing. Everybody's like, well, can we come here on Christmas? Can we do this on Christmas? Let's go here on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know if you guys know, but my wife and I are the only ones with little kids in our entire family.
Right.
And that's who Christmas is for.
Right.
It was these little kids, not...
And I feel like
you guys,
we don't have to take the circus to you. Maybe you could come see the circus at our...
Exactly.
Right. Come to the big tent.
100%.
But that's what we're doing. Our Thanksgiving was... It was nice, but Becky's parents are very very vigilant about this. And our governor had said you really shouldn't gather for holiday dinners.
Uh-huh.
And so they're big fans of our governor. So they stayed home and had Cracker Barrel for dinner.
And honestly, I have no problem with the family not wanting to get together because I agree. There's a lot of issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the fact that this isn't how they acted before.
Right.
It's the sudden change of terms that I didn't appreciate.
Yeah.
If they had acted this way the entire time, I would 100% get it.
I mean, you should talk to them about it, though, because you got to remember, too, that things changed a lot then, too. We went from everybody was kind of just taking it easy until about November 15th when they're like, shit, the cases are spiking. They're closing down schools again. Everything's shutting down again. The governor's saying don't get together. So they might have changed their mindset a little. They might not just hate you.
They might just hate me.
It might be something else. It might be another issue that they have.
It could be.
But we had, my parents came and my brother came and we had a nice little Thanksgiving dinner and they left. We haven't even talked about Christmas yet. I don't know. We canceled our, for the first time this year.
I'm so disappointed in you.
I am too. So it was 11. So this would have been the 9th annual Ruff Family Christmas Party. We have a big Christmas party every year.
Let's do it virtual.
Maybe. That seems so fucking lame.
No, though. It is. It's super lame. I was more of a joke, but it would be funny to like.
Somebody else suggested that, but every year we have.
Google Hangouts will be at our house.
We have a costume. We have a themed Christmas party every year. All our friends come, and like we did like the Griswold Christmas. We did superhero Christmas. We did 80s Christmas. We've done white trash Christmas. Everybody comes dressed up. We do a big white elephant gift exchange. Everybody brings dish to pass, and we just have a big old party. But we decided this year that we're just not going to do it.
I felt bad about the white trash one because I got a mutual friend of ours who will not be mentioned, but is our producer, very intoxicated at that party.
Yes, you did.
Very, very
yes,
intoxicated.
You definitely fed him quite a bit of vodka that night. But yeah, it's a bummer. But it was just, and honestly, like, you know, we've been affected by it. In fact, that my daughter's had it. Mm-hmm. My mother's had it. You know, and Bella still has symptoms. She's still not over it.
Yeah.
Still deals with some chronic fatigue and she still can't smell anything. It's been a month. And we were just like, you know, first of all, maybe it's a little irresponsible. And then it was like, and honestly, it's not, I'm definitely not afraid of the illness, mm-hmm. but I'm, you know, enough more so cognizant of it than I was before. And I said, do I really want to bring 25 people in from all different social circles into our house? Like, that just
probably not
seems like a bad idea. So,
and let me be completely frank. When I bitch about Thanksgiving, guys, it's just bitching. That's all it is. Cause I understand it. I truly do understand it.
Yeah.
But I also need something to bitch about.
Right. Here's something. How do you feel about the latest governor's orders? Go.
And go. The new 2-week pause added to the 3-week pause. Yeah, I don't know. That's about all I'm going to say about that.
Somebody posted a picture of Bill Murray from Groundhog's Day, and it just says, it's just a 2-week pause for safety, which we've heard how many times over. But, you know, I was 100% when around that time, mid-November, when they shut things down again, that was the first time through this where I was like, yeah, something, we need to do something. This is bad. Before the state shut down our schools, our local school district had to close down because they had 130 students out and 13 teachers out in a district of two elementary schools, one middle school and one high school, small district. And they were like, we can't, you know, people were bitching, like, what are we supposed to do with this remote? They're like, we don't have any teachers and no subs. There's nothing mm-hmm. we can do. I knew at one point, 10 different people in my circle that had it or had been exposed to it and were in quarantine. We almost had two guys that had to miss deer camp because they had been exposed to it. It was just like, it went from, yeah, I know some people and it's not that bad. Everybody needs to chill out. It was like, holy shit, everybody's got it mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, the circle is tightening.
Yeah, and you know, and I think, but the big bitch right now is the governor's leaving restaurants closed, which is I don't give a shit. I live a mile away from Indiana. I can mm-hmm. go to any restaurant I want to. But I feel really bad for the restaurant owners because that's not where it's spreading. The science proves that's not where it's spreading. It's spreading at shopping malls, but those are open. It's spreading at airports, but those are open. It's spreading at intimate social at-home gatherings, which when you close down all the bars and restaurants, guess what? Everybody that were regulated for mm-hmm. social distancing and masks, instead of doing that, now everybody's just having parties at their house and continuing to spread it. So it's a bummer. Nothing we can do about it.
It is.
It's okay. But this will probably be, when's this going to air? Are we gonna make one of these next week? Let's say maybe we'll do one next week. Send us some.
Guys, you might hear us next week.
Yeah. I would say send us some ideas of what you'd like us to cover. But the problem is that this drops the day we'll be recording it. But anyway.
Do that anyway. Just keep them coming.
Yep. Well, we better wrap this up.
Like Bob said earlier, we're not taking a break from Bob and Weave. It's just going to be, who knows the consistency until we get through some of these other obstacles we have right now.
Yeah. We've got some obstacles, some scheduling issues, and it's just, yeah, just timing-wise, it gets tough sometimes. We got kids. I still have kids doing remote learning. Mm-hmm. You don't currently. I don't
at the moment.
But Christmas break's going to be coming where they're going to be home. So we'll see what happens. It was nice of you, Kelly Zappas, to point out this week that there was no episode. It made me feel good that you noticed.
Except for?
You said it was 2 weeks with no episodes, and it was
3 weeks.
3 weeks. You didn't notice the first week that there was no episode.
Burr, burr, burr.
Anyway, man, that ended on a bummer. Happy Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun, 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 fun. No, everything's great. Everything's good. I love you guys. Zach, thanks for being my friend.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@bobweavepod.com. And if you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.